Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is Monday, January the 17th, and we are already in our second snow of the year.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
It's great.
I don't think it's as awesome this time around. I'm ready to just be not in my home. We're doing this on podcast. So,
We're doing the podcast on Zoom.
That's right. Because it may sound a little different. So,
well, it's good. I'm glad we can both sit in our homes on a snow day and do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're sipping like chocolate or something over there.
I am. It is called sipping chocolate, and it feels like I'm drinking a candy bar. It's very strong.
What happens when your granddaughter comes to your house? Well, you drink candy bars. That's what you do.
That's what you do.
Yeah. Well, even though I know we weren't all together yesterday, we're going to get to the sermon in a moment. It was a great sermon from John chapter 7 about conflict, and just encourage people, if they didn't get to hear all of it, I would encourage you to listen to all of it. It's a great overview of the entire chapter. So
thank you.
Now, is your plan to go dive in? It's bad to ask you plans.
No, the plan is to go back and pick up verse 37 through 39, where Jesus cries out during this feast. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.
Okay, good.
And then carry on that passage. So yeah, I'm going to jump back in at least one more week into John 7. But it was I'm maybe getting ahead of where you want to be right now. But yeah. John 7 was such a long, sustained moment of conflict in the ministry of Jesus. We really needed to deal with it all together. That's how it made the most sense. So
good. We had a great weekend. We had the disciple making conference on Friday and on Saturday at the building, and so it was a great time to be with people and just talk about discipleship.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for hosting that. It was really it was really good. We had, I think, about 45 people from Grace were interested in what it means to make disciples and to be a part of a congregation that makes disciples. And so we talked about how everybody plays a role, maybe not the same role, but everybody plays a role.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was great. Good to be there. And so here we are, John 7. Let's jump right in to John chapter 7 and talk a little bit about just kind of really specifically the area that you talked about during the sermon in John 7 about why are they in conflict. You were talking about why there was conflict with people that are around you. You identified who were in the conflict, talked about the religious leaders, kind of the general crowd that knew Jesus, you know, maybe from his life at some point, and then even his brothers, plural. And now we're here talking about why the conflict, why is there conflict? So you talked about that there was conflict because Jesus was exposing their evil, which is found in verse 7 of John 7. He talks about that.
Yeah.
So my question is, Scott, as Jesus begins to expose this in all the world, the people that live in the world, how does this exposure or this exposing our sin, how does that hit on a moral level? Like, how does that work? How is Jesus doing that?
Yeah. well, the way the passage hints at or speaks to that is he says, the world cannot hate you. He's talking to his brothers, and they're pushing him to go public, even though there's there's skepticism on their part. They're unbelieving. But he says, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. And so, you can take from that when Jesus comes and he speaks of his purpose, and then he actually goes to the cross and then he calls people, you see, he's touching on a real moral level, the hearts of people. And that creates conflict. Mm-hmm. So we could, some people could say, well, I don't believe in Jesus because I have intellectual arguments. And there are intellectual arguments, and people just need their minds cleared up. They need to understand what the facts are about Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. So there is a little bit of that going on, but really what Jesus is getting at here is is the nature of him coming into the world actually confronts the world. And the nature of him calling the individual to repent and believe and come and follow, it touches that individual at a moral level. Mm-hmm. And so there's a moral conflict that goes on when people are face to face with Christ. Mm-hmm. And I would put it this way, that you know, one of the things when you think about the purpose of Jesus coming to be the Savior of the world, you know, John the Baptist said early in John, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Okay, well, that means that Jesus came because of sin. Mm-hmm. So to encounter Jesus is to have a person's have our sin exposed.
Yeah,
and that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. And that really confronts our pride. That mm-hmm. that creates a conflict in people. It's a point at which it first comes to us and says, "Oh, I'm a sinner."
Yeah, like, yeah.
Like that's why he came.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no way around that.
Yeah.
And so there is an internal resistance, reaction to that first word of I'm mm-hmm. a sinner.
Yeah.
I think another part of that, to take it a little bit further, is mm-hmm. not only does it expose our sin, but at some point we come to the realization that there's nothing we can do about our sin.
Mm-hmm.
So it exposes our inability. And another way of saying that is the fact that it required a cross, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to deal with our sins shows, that extreme measure showed that there is nothing that we could have done or can do mm-hmm. to atone for, remove our own sin.
Yeah.
So that, as well, is a point of conflict. So on the one hand, I've been told I'm a sinner. On the other hand, I've been told there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
And both of those messages coming to us as mm-hmm. human beings creates an internal battle. It's a wound to our pride. It humbles us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, usually a bit of resistance to that.
Yeah.
pardon me. And then a third thing I think is that the reason there's this moral conflict is that Jesus calls for an absolute lordship.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls for obedience.
Yeah.
So that also kind of, there's a resistance to our pride to say, oh, you mean I'm supposed to actually yield to another?
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to lay down my rights, my privileges, my whatever I want to call them, my autonomy.
Yeah.
And the answer is yes. You deny yourself, you take up your cross, you follow Jesus, you mm-hmm. obey Jesus. So that's what we're driving at when we say it touches us on a moral level.
Yeah.
And that means it goes below the level of, you know, facts and even human reasoning and, you know, plausibility. It kind of goes beyond that, deeper.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, the call of Christ, the claims of Christ, the call of Christ get us at that heart level of where we make the decisions of our lives. And so it exposes sin, it exposes our inability, and it calls for absolute lordship. But, well, you go ahead.
So I was going to say, you know, like I get this at the level, like this, what you're saying, you know, exposes sin, inability, and then submission to his lordship. Like I get that at the level, I can think about my own story coming to faith. I even remember you sharing part of your story Friday night at the discipleship conference. I was like, oh man, I get that. So how do you see this playing out, or do you see it playing out in some ways, even with Christians,
mm-hmm.
this conflict? Because obviously when we first come to Jesus, man, there's that conflict all over. But how, I mean, you have conversations constantly, people, believers all the time who may be struggling with sin. I mean, do you see this similar? How is it different? I mean, help us here a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yes. So the question you're asking is, how does this work for people who come to faith in Christ? Does it continue? Is there a continued conflict? I think that's your question.
Right.
But let's step back just a little bit further and say the good news is that even though there's this conflict that comes on a moral level because of the exposure of our sin, the exposure of our inability, and the call for lordship, God by His Spirit can lead us to accept this assessment about us from Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to actually respond in faith to that call to lordship.
Right.
From Jesus. God can do that. He does that. That's why we're Christians, because right. God said, because God's Spirit worked in our hearts and we said, oh, I admit, yes, I see that I'm a sinner. I can humble myself enough to see, yes, I am a sinner. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, I see that I am unable to change my own spiritual condition before God. And so, yes, I receive what Christ has done for me on the cross to atone for my sin and to grant me His righteousness. That is, He is my ability. I am not my ability. He is my ability. Right. So see, the Holy Spirit can lead a person, can lead us and the people we know to this kind of humility and acceptance of the assessment of Christ. And the Holy Spirit can draw us to say, you know, as Doubting Thomas did at the end, you know, my Lord and my God, you know, you are my Lord, you are my God. And so I will live under your lordship. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing we need to clear up and make sure is that while there is conflict, that God can overcome the conflict by the work of the Spirit in our lives.
It's almost in some ways, Scott, when you say the conflict is a working of God, right? Like the very fact that if you are not a Christian and you begin to realize there's a conflict of my sin, the fact that you're even acknowledging it as sin is the fact that God is in the conflict.
Like, that's
that's
the way I'm interpreting it and praying for it in our lives. And you know, I don't want to base truth on my experience, but that my experience does bear witness to that truth.
Yeah.
And that is that the internal conflict within me before I actually came to faith in Christ, before I was converted to Christ, I believe was the work of God's Spirit in me, mm-hmm. drawing me, creating the conflict, and then leading me through the conflict to repentance and faith, mm-hmm. as I was being confronted with the call of Christ to follow Him, and to believe in Him. So that and then your question was, how does it do Christians continue to struggle? And I would say, absolutely. I mean, you know, we are constantly being called to die to ourselves. We're constantly being called to receive the assessment of Christ that we need Him, that He is our ability. He is our ability to grow in Him. He is our ability to put to death the sins and the deeds of the flesh, the mind, the body, and to pursue holiness.
Yeah.
We absolutely continue to need Him. And we must have an ongoing submission to His Lordship.
Yeah.
If we want to know the joy of Christ in our lives.
But it does seem like some of it has changed to some degree, because if I'm a Christian and my sin is exposed and maybe something in my life that needs to be changed or I need to repent of, that when I get to the inability, it's true that I don't have the ability to change this in my life. But now because I'm in Christ, I now actually do have the ability, not in my own power, but in His strength, because He's giving me the Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
One way to put it, I think it will be as helpful as we can to people, mm-hmm. is there is a point of conversion.
Right.
We could say there is a point where a person is born again.
Right.
Leading up to that, the conflict of the soul is will I trust Christ for my salvation? Will I trust the work of Christ for my salvation? And will I follow Christ? You know, will I heed the call to come to Him and drink from Him and believe in Him and follow Him? Then there is a point where we have faith. We are converted to Christ by the work of the Spirit and the repentance and faith in Christ. The life of a Christian is an ongoing life of growth and sanctification, which remains a life of faith. It remains a life of repentance and faith, and it remains a life of submission to the Lordship of Christ. Mm-hmm. Not to become a Christian over and over and over again,
Right.
But to progress in Christ likeness. Mm-hmm. And along the way, there is still conflict often in the soul. But the believer in Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit, when that conflict comes and there's a humbling, the believer will humble him or herself before the Lord and submit to Christ and grow in obedience and die to self and follow Christ. Yeah.
Good. So let me end here. This may be helpful for us now as we kind of get to more like kind of some applying this to our lives and specifically applying it to our prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
So Scott, how do you feel like understanding this conflict, specifically for people that have not come to faith yet, but even people who are in faith and are having to still submit to the Lordship of Christ and their sanctification, how can this help us as a congregation pray for people we know?
Well, I think we need to be, patient and that keeps us praying. You know, if we know people who don't know Christ, we're trying to share the Lord with them. We're trying to model what it means to be a Christian in front of them. And we just think, oh, what's going on? They're slow to respond or whatever. You know, I do think it creates a lot of patience in our lives. No Christian figured it out. You know, Christians are people whose God's Spirit has worked. And it creates a humility in us as Christians so that we can look at other people who are not responding to Christ and be patient with them and pray, and knowing that it's going to require the same work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then secondly, I think that it does shape our praying because we can actually pray in the direction of those places where people are resisting. Mm-hmm. And we need to be praying for people that God would let them come to the realization and the acceptance of the assessment of Jesus of us, mm-hmm. which is our works are evil, that we are sinful, yeah. that we need.
Yeah.
Pray for that, specifically for that. And that God, we can pray that specifically God will show people, open their eyes to their inability to reconcile themselves to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can pray for people that they would come to see that submitting to the Lordship of Jesus is actually a beautiful thing.
Right.
I'll go back again to my own experience, my own testimony. When I became a Christian, over a process of months, I went from fear of having to lose my sin in order to follow Christ to somehow wanting to follow Christ so much that I was willing to repent of my sin.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a journey.
Right.
At first it was about, oh, I can't follow Christ. I don't want to give up control of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It became I will yield my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ because I think Jesus Christ has come to be in my mind something more desirable, more even greater than my sin.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I haven't struggled with sin over the years. It just means that's the point of faith. That's how God led me to faith. The conflict was resolving as the Holy Spirit was working in my life, and I was seeing more and more of the greatness of Jesus.
Mm.
That, I think, we need to be praying specifically for the people
around
us who don't know the Lord, who we're trying to lead to Christ.
Yeah, good. Well, that's helpful. And I was thinking more as you were talking about praying in a lot of the conflict. You've talked a lot about in the last 2 to 3 years about praying for people to get exhausted and finally come. And it's almost the same concept, right? That almost that God would use the conflict to bear down, to finally bring people to the point of exhaustion, to say, I can't, of humility, to acknowledge that I can't do anything and I need the Lord. And so it's definitely a great prayer request. Great.
Man.
Well, thank you. And we'll be back Sunday and be back in John chapter 7.
That's right.
All right. Look forward to it.
Thanks.